feel like the Lord's been talking to us a little bit this week, and for some time about this thought. I've been so inspired by it for weeks, but I just felt like the Lord gave it to me here for us this morning, and I would like the Lord to help us with it. I want to turn to Colossians 1 and 19. You know, it says here, and if we can get a hold of this, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." You know, this morning, I know that sounds kind of light, or I don't know what it sounds like to you, but it so struck me a number of weeks ago. I've just been thinking a little bit on it ever since then. And do you know that if we can understand and if we can realize that in Christ all fullness dwells, all the fullness dwells in him. It said it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. You know what that means to us? I want to read the scripture surrounding this passage, this whole passage here. Starting at 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities." You know what that's speaking of? That's speaking of powers, of political powers, whether it's thrones, whether it's kings, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Did you know everything consists by God and by Christ? Everything there is because of God and because of Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Did you know that even that lies within his power? To present us to God at some time holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. When our time comes to meet God face to face, do you know that we've got one that is able to make us able to be unreprovable in his sight? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled." There's a little condition there. But he says, "And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." You know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to get our eyes a little bit more on the Lord and a little less on the things we would trust in. Do you know that if the Lord tells us we're not supposed to trust in uncertain riches. We're not supposed to trust in man, but trust in the living God. You know, in Psalms 20 and 7, I'll just quote this. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses." You know, that was the military capabilities of the day. That was what they believed in. That was what they had. That was what, when a big army came against another, they needed more chariots. They needed more horses. And they needed more men. And they needed capable, trained forces. And David says here, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to lift up our eyes and to recognize God for who He is? Do you know that He gave to Jesus all fullness? It says that in Him should all fullness dwell. I hope this morning that our hearts and our eyes can get lifted up unto the Lord to know that all fullness, there isn't any dominion, there isn't any power, there isn't any person, there isn't any sin that can stand before His awesome majesty. The Lord is able and has all capability. By Him was all things created. Everything that is because He created it, the Scripture tells us. And so when we look around and we start trying to plant our hopes in one thing and another, in long life, in money, in others, in the way things are going for us personally or any of those things, do you know the Lord doesn't want our hope to be in those things. He wants our trust, as David said, some trust in chariots and some in horses and some trust in all kinds of things. But David said, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Do you know, when I read things like that, from time to time, I cannot forget going back to the time that David, or was it David? Anyway, the Israelites were going out to battle. And you know, the Lord told them, He said, they sought the Lord. Lord, what about this? Well, the enemy was there. What else are they going to do? You know what? The Lord said, I want you to go around by the mulberry trees. He said, when you hear the wind rustling in the top, it's your time. You know, they were trusting in one that knew the whole thing. They knew the weakness of the enemy. They had the enemy right. God had it all in His hand. And He wants us to know that this morning. I just want to encourage us to lift up our hearts. The Lord just ministered to me personally through these scriptures. But I was reminded of different things. The many times the Lord has been there. And you know, He wants us to trust in that. He wants us to trust in Him. I believe that with all my heart. I have no question about that. You know, in Psalms 34 and 4, I want to look at another set of scriptures, 4 to 8. This is a psalm that all of us are very familiar of, many of us are. 34 and 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. I think I read this scripture not too long ago. But they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. Now, you know who was writing this? David. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, too. I've got several of them. But this is one of them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You know, I believe that David got his eyes up on the Lord. I believe that he learned to take his eyes away from the things that were around him. David faced a lot of things, but he learned that in the Lord was everything he needed. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us as we go along through life. It's not in us. Jeremiah says, 10 and 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But you know, this morning, it is in the Lord's hands. It is in His ways. And I want to encourage us today that the Lord knows. He sees our situation and He sees our life. And He wants us to trust in Him this morning. I was thinking about the answers to life that the Lord has. You know, he has all the inspiration that you and I need. He does. And if we will understand and know who God is, he is light and in him is no darkness at all. When we come before the Lord, he has it all in his hands. He has everything in his hands. And do you know that he wants us to know that? He wants us to have perfect confidence in that as we come to him. Do you know that he has all the answers to life? What number is the song, "He Will Care for Me"? I didn't look that up. What number? I think it is 104. The song here, he says, "I walk today in the Christian way, though dangers I may see. I will not fear, for the Lord is near, and he will care for me. No matter what happens, he will care for me. He will care for me. He will care for me. And his mighty hand will enable me to stand." He'll enable me to stand. Do you know that in his hand is holiness as well? He is able to give to us holiness as well. That's in God too. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to search for him. He wants us to lean upon him and receive of his grace and his power and his authority. And then it says, "No matter what happens to me, no test I face, but sufficient grace is ready for my need. When sorrows rise to obscure my skies," you know that happens, doesn't it? And sometimes the skies turn dark and gray. And the writer here, C.W. Naylor, knew a little bit about that. And he said here, "When sorrows rise to obscure my skies, he proves a friend indeed. He will not fail in the strongest gale that stormy winds can blow. And in his grace is a hiding place unknown to any foe." Do you know the Lord did not choose someone that was sailing high and had never had any battles to write this song? C.W. Naylor wrote a lot of things, didn't he? You know where they came from? They came from that voice of experience and that voice of trusting in God and recognizing how God would undergird him. And so he goes on to say, "I will trust in him though disasters grim before me seem to be. He calms my fears and dries my tears and faithful is to me." Didn't Job one time face disaster seemingly right before him? Didn't he face some things that it looked like, and it was complete disaster, wasn't it? As much as you can have in this life, he had. I don't see how it could get worse. But he said here in this song, "I will trust in him, though disasters grim before me seem to be." And I believe Job said, "Though he," what? "He slay me, yet will I trust him." Job's heart was set to serve the Lord no matter what. And so he calms my fears and he dries my tears and faithful is to me. No matter what happens, he will care for me. He will care for me. He will care for me, the song says. And his mighty hand will enable me to stand no matter what happens to me. I believe that with all my heart. You know, this morning, I believe we can face all the battles of life with confidence in God like that. I was thinking about the different things, the inspiration we need. I don't know about you, but I need inspiration. Sometimes my skies get pretty dark and my head hangs low and I don't know what I'm going to do or say. But one thing I know where it is found. And what I have to do is go back to the source and fall upon my knees and cry to the Lord, humble my heart before him. And folks, I want to tell you something this morning. It's there. It's in him, and he has all of the inspiration. He can take us and lift us up and inspire our hearts again and again and again, can he not? You know, he has all the healing that I need. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. I believe the Lord has all of that. I have been a partaker of those things. I have enjoyed those things in my life. I have seen them many times in our family. I've been a partaker of that. Not only physically, but spiritually. Do you know sometimes we need spiritual healing, don't we? We need something from God to heal the places, to heal the scars, to heal the wounds that we receive. I don't know about you, but I've received a few wounds in my life. But do you know what I have found? The Lord is a healer of those things. He has all fullness dwelling in Him. And folks, what we have to do is come to Him, and He'll give us a bit of that, all that we need. Physical, I will tell you, I have found Him to be there for us again and again. And though, as Job said, if He slays me, I'll trust Him anyway. You know, I believe we can know God like that. And I believe He wants us to this morning. Emotional. Do you know the Lord has emotional healing for us? I know some of us were scarred when we were young. I know some of us have been scarred when we're older. Do you know that happens in life? And some of your scars may be deeper than mine have ever been emotionally, although I've had some. My mother had many troubles through our life. She was in and out of the hospital and in and out of the situation so many times, and I experienced a lot of instability in that way. But I will tell you what I have found. I have found the Lord. And I have found that in Him all fullness dwells. I've found that He heals the heartache and that He heals the situations in our life. He gives us comfort and strength. It comes from the Lord this morning. And I hope we through our lives, folks, can get into that vein and realize when I'm low, I need the Lord. When I'm needy, I need the Lord. When I'm a poor man, I need the Lord. I need the Lord through life. And I want to tell you something. In Him, all fullness dwells. And we read how that all powers, all principalities, all dominions, He made those things, folks. He has His hand over those things. He even said that His word says He sets up who He will. Do you know that the Lord is in the midst of all of those things? And so we have to trust Him. And He told us He would take care of us no matter what. I want to encourage us. All the answers that we need in life. Do you know that He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Come to the Lord and ask Him. Do we not know that in Him all fullness dwells? Do we not know that God has all that wisdom for us? And we have to humble our hearts to Him. And He takes us through a lot of things to get some of that wisdom. And we ask for wisdom, and He might teach us wisdom. It might be a little bit of a road sometimes to get there. But I want to tell you something. It's in Him this morning. If we will humble ourselves to all the things that He brings in our life and not run from them. You know, the comfort, the renewing that we need this morning, when we need renewing, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be renewed in my spirit. I found Him to be there, to always be there. I found that what I have to do is get on my knees and humble my heart, and He's there. In Psalms 147 and 5, here's another psalm. Listen to this. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That's quite a bit, isn't it? In Him all fullness dwells. Do we realize that this morning? I think sometimes we need to stop and just take a minute and examine some of the things that He's done. And look at some of the things that He's made. We can examine the smallest little creatures, and it just is beyond what we can hardly believe. But it says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. I just want to share a few little thoughts here. May not even be long. But folks, this morning, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. I want to encourage us to just humble ourselves before the Lord and hope in his mercy and hope in him. He said there, the Lord lifteth up the meek. That's something to study on. What is the meek? The Lord lifts up the meek. Folks, that's a whole week study in itself, lifting up the meek. It's something for us to apply ourselves to. Lord, teach me what it means to be meek, because these are the folks that you lift up. These are the ones that you're turned to. These are the ones that you hear. And there's a lot said about meekness in the Bible. You know, David, we've been reading in different places here of David's writing, I believe. In Psalms 37 and 25, he said, I have been young, verse 25, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Do you know, David said, I've never seen it. I've never seen the Lord forsake his children. You know, I just wanted to testify a little bit about the Lord's provision for us and how he takes care of us. I know I have said some of these things before. But I remember a time in, it was 1984, I believe, and my brother Dan and I were working together, and we took on a job that was way bigger than we had ever taken before. We didn't even know how to bid it. And when we got all done, we were in debt about $6,000. And we didn't have any money and didn't know what we were going to do. And then to top all that off, at the same time, about the time we finished the job, Dan was working on the school over here, and he pulled something in his stomach. And he was off work for months, actually. And so it took him completely out of the picture, and so it fell on us. And we had bills to pay. But I'll tell you what God does and what I've seen him do, and he is faithful in this. Do you know that a brother came to me, and I'd never had this happen before. A brother came to me, and he said, I want to buy some lumber on your bill so I can get your price. Would you let me do that? And he said, I'll give you the money up front if you'll let me do that. So he gave us $2,000 and went and charged on our bill at the lumber yard. And when that came due, he came and said, I want to charge some more on your bill. And which was kicking the can down the road a little bit. But so he gave me another $2,000. And did it again. And then in the meantime, I had a job that I made about twice as much money as I had ever made before. And I found early in our life that if you will take God's way and you will trust him, he will take care of you. And do you know the Lord made it possible for us to pay all those bills as they came due? And he made it so that it never got out of hand at all. And I thank the Lord for that. I witnessed what God is able to do. I worked a lot of hours that month, but I had the best job I ever had at the same time. And do you know that the Lord, he did that. I remember another time when this was the late 80s, and I believe, no, it wasn't. It was the early 90s, in fact. And I had bought a truck in 1986, I believe it was, and I'd paid cash for it. And so that truck was really, really getting old by that time. And I'm trying to remember exactly how all that happened. Anyway, we had a truck, and I had paid cash for it. And so through these years, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do certain things in His work. And I wasn't preaching at the time, but we were very active. And so I didn't feel like I had time to work overtime, and I wasn't making enough money to put anything back for another truck. And the devil kept telling me, when it comes time to get another truck, you're not going to have anything for it because you're not going to have any money. And so it came down, and this truck started giving me problems, and it wouldn't. I went to Oklahoma City. I got a big load of wood, about $4,000 worth or so, which was a lot of money to us, and it was very nice wood. And the rain began to come up, and I mean, I'm talking a thunderstorm, and you know how it can come. And I was trying to get as far north as I can, and then get over to the highway, and I started up I-35 north, and I will tell you, I saw the rain coming. It was in my mirror. And I saw this. But as we came home, and I was pressing it, and I couldn't go over sometimes maybe 50 miles an hour or so because I was having trouble. But I want to tell you how God stands with you when you do His will. When we are God's property, He takes care of His property. And as we went home, I saw this thunderstorm completely surround us. And I saw it keep coming down until there was a little hole above us. I witnessed this. And I drove up to the shop. I started unloading. And when I got it almost unloaded, a few sprinkles fell on the last three sheets. That was God. And then it poured rain. I've seen those things, saints, and many of you have too. I have seen the Lord when you give yourself to Him. And I can only say with all of my heart, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. When we take God's way, when we do His ways, when we live for Him, I want to tell you, He comes to our rescue. I remember a time, and I've told you this many times, but I was deeply afflicted, and I had sleep apnea. Now, I don't know if you know what that's like, but when you wake up over and over and over, you dream you're drowning, you quit breathing when you go to sleep, and it happens. It can happen hundreds of times in a night. So when you get up in the morning, you're just completely worn out. It's a very, very tough situation. But I'll tell you, I came to church one night, and I was sitting right back there on that back bench, and the Lord inspired me with an exhortation about divine healing. And I had a little battle on my hands there, but I knew the Lord gave it to me, so I gave it anyway. And I'll tell you, at the end of it, the Lord inspired me to go forward and be prayed for, and the Lord healed me that night. And I know that's all the Lord. That's His work. He allows us many times to come into hard places because He wants to get glory to His name. He wants people to know there is a God. Why do you think He set the moon out there? The sun, the stars. I was hearing yesterday about the billions of galaxies. Now, I don't know much about that. But billions of galaxies? And how many billions of stars are in a galaxy? I don't know. I don't know all those numbers. But He set those things there, folks, for us to know I'm there. Do you know that God is there this morning? Do you know that in Him all fullness dwells? Do we know that God is who he said he was? This is Jehovah. This is the one who led the children of Israel out. Folks, there are many gods in the world. There's a lot of false religion and a lot of those things. But I want to tell you something. Thank God we've been taught about the one true God. There is a God. You read from the very beginning and you begin to understand the Lord is one Lord, he says. He's not a multiplicity of lords. There isn't competition with God. God is God. And folks, if we will give our lives to him, I believe that if I could remember them all, I believe I could tell you hundreds of times. And I say that in no way boasting. I want to tell you something. When you serve the Lord with all your heart, folks, he's God to you. And he takes good care of his property. He knows what we need. He knows the battles that we need. He knows how he needs to lead us into those straight places, like we preached a couple of weeks ago about them coming into that place that the children of Israel at the Red Sea, and there they were, and there was the Egyptians right behind them. God took them there for a very good reason. And folks, this morning, oh, how the Lord wants to be in our lives all that he said he would be, and he will be to those that put their trust in him. May the Lord help us this morning that our faith can be inspired some way, somehow. Job, though he was rich, though he had all of this, he didn't put his trust in it. And the proof is that when it was all taken away, what was it Job said there? The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away, something like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't we know? He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This morning, I believe the Lord wants us to bless his name. Folks, our names are written in heaven. That's where our riches are. That's where Job's was. He wasn't about to curse God and die. He would rather suffer and die. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants to give us in our hearts a heart of faith that no matter what, I'm going to serve him. Folks, the people all around us in the world are turning away from the true God. But I want to tell you something. The Lord needs a few people that are willing to suffer. They're willing to live for God no matter what. Willing to plant their feet in faith and belief and serve him with all their heart, and live for him just like he wants them to, and dress and live in a way that the world ridicules and scorns. I want to tell you, we live in that kind of world, but will there be some that really glorify God, that really prove to the world that there is a God? I hope there are, clear to the end. I hope when Jesus comes back that he finds faith on the earth. I hope that you and I hope this congregation holds faith in God no matter what. No matter what comes our way, folks, the Lord wants to be glorified in our lives. He doesn't want our heads to hang down. There isn't anything that can make our heads hang down to the point that it would discourage us from serving God. In Psalms 145, and 3, listen to this. Another psalm of David. I love his psalms. David paid such a price. He suffered so much, and he found the Lord so real that his words, they're words of beauty. They're words of depth. They're words of trust. Words of strength. Words of praise to the Lord we find in his writings. Listen to this. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. You know, when I hear the talk going on today and I hear the slander against God's name, against Christians, against Christ, it hurts me because I know the Lord is gracious. I know He is their answer. The very ones that are slandering Him, He is their answer. Folks, let's don't be ugly to them. They're doing what their Father tells them to do. Let's lead them to a better way. Let's let them know God wants to be gracious to you. He loves you. He died for you. He sent His Son because of His love. The Lord is good to all. Let's see. The Lord is gracious, verse 8, and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Thank the Lord this morning. I love this, don't you? They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. You know, saints, this morning, we're about done, I suppose, but this morning, I hope that we pass this to the generation following. We read the verse in verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another. Isn't that awesome this morning? One generation shall praise thy works to another. This thing can follow down. We see that in Timothy, don't we? His grandmother and his mother. And they told him. And Paul said he sees that Timothy has the same faith they had this morning. One generation shall praise thy works to another. I love that this morning. I hope we can do that. I hope we can pass that faith. Philippians 1 and 20. I want to read one more scripture here. You know, Paul got a hold of such faith in God, and his experience with the Lord was so real. It was real enough that when Paul, it says, let's just read this, verse 20 of first chapter of Philippians, the first chapter. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know what? Paul had something settled, didn't he? There wasn't anything that was going to take away his consecration, his faith in God. And so we see here, he says, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know which I'm going to choose. Sounds like he had a choice, doesn't it? For I'm in a strait between two. I'm in a hard place. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Folks, I hope we have this. I hope we have this in our life. A desire to be with the Lord that's stronger than any other desire that we have in life. That outshines and out. There isn't any close second. Paul said, I can only imagine his life. All his life From the time he got saved on, he gave it to Christ. He did his whole life. He lived for him. Every moment was the Lord's moment. And now he comes down to the end. And I mean, what could be better? He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That was Paul's heart. That was what Paul lived for all his life. And he says here, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. You know, this morning, I just want to leave us with those thoughts. I want to tell you, saints, I just feel like the Lord inspired this to me. Set your hope in God. And he'll take care of everything else. Whether it be by life or death. Whether it be by persecution. Whether it be by troubles and trials. Or whether it be that he gives, as he did with Job in the days following. He gave him untold glory there. Job was blessed in a way that none others were. He was the richest man in the East, I believe it says. And you know, we find that. But I want to tell you something. No matter what we have, we better set our hope in Christ. Set our hope that I want to make heaven my home. No matter what happens to me, no matter what comes in my life, I want to set my hope in the Lord this morning. You all pray for me too.